pillars of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brother, dear sister, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, in which we're going to speak about the Holy Quran in life. من الآيات والتفسير ويسقي العقل والتفكير يواكب واقع التغيير يشيد بالوئام صروح يشيد بالوئام صروح يشيد بالوئام صروح صدره يطوف بين الروح سناه على الحياة يلوح Today, Thursday, 4th of Shawwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, which is corresponding to the 14th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of April, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to the Holy Quran, chapter Waqi'a, verses 77 to 82.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنه لقرآن كريم.
Indeed, it is a noble Quran.
في كتاب مكنون.
In a register well protected.
لا يمسه إلا المطهرون.
None touch it except the purified.
تنزيل من رب العالمين.
It is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds.
أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون.
Then is it to this statement that you are indifferent?
وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون.
And make the thanks for your provision that you deny the provider.
لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The attribute Karim employed for the glorious Quran refers to Allah Almighty, the most generous and the most benevolent, and the same attribute also designates a human virtue. The Arabic word also reflects the great merits of the Holy Quran and its eloquence and rhetorical figures, as well as its interesting contents, since it is revealed by the Lord, who is the origin of the perfection and beauty. God Almighty is the origin of the revelation, as well as the goal of the Holy Quran.
إن القرآن لنور يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات. إن القرآن لنور يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي، قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
If you remember in the previous episode of today's special, we start knowing more about Quran in our daily life. Now we continue. The Quran is more than just a book. It's a word of Allah. Factual, informative, comprehensive, and it provides divine guidance for all the humanity. It clarifies the purpose of life, emphasizing the importance of repairing our relationship with Allah by submitting ourselves through worship, through remembrance, through obedience. The Quran conveys informative stories of the Anbiya and their manner of dealing with challenges through unwavering faith, which serves as a lesson to place our trust solely in Allah. It is a compass offering an ocean of teachings and guidance for navigating life's challenges. Those who connect with this divine book are able to connect with Allah and attain Allah's love, mercy, and spiritual growth.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was not only talking, he wanted this to, he was dictating it. He wanted somebody to write it down. He says, Wallah, Wallah, I remind you of Allah. I remind you of Allah. Fil Quran. Regarding the Quran, لا يسبقكم بالعمل به غيركم. It shouldn't be that others implement the Quran before you. The word غيركم here, basically, he's talking about non-Muslims. And it seems that it is possible that people who are not even followers of our faith might be studying the Quran, getting wisdom from it, implementing it, whereas we just have the book. Or at most, we read it. But what does Amir al-Mu'mineen say? La yasbiqukum bil amal. You know, in implementing the Quran in our life. Others should not be ahead of you. And this is something we have to really think about once There is a series of question answers, very brief ones, somebody has compiled, where they were asking Allah Tabatabai Rahmatullah alayhi different questions of on different issues. And there somebody basically, you know, asked him, he says, you know, namaz we do, fasting in Ramadan we do, charity we pay, we go for Hajj, we go for Ziyarat, we do all these amal and everything, you know, but the blessings comes on the West. Everything we do, but the goodies, you know, are coming on that side. And Allah Tabatabai really, and I would say this is one way of, you know, explaining the statement of Quran, of Amir al-Mu'minin about Quran, where he says that, you know, they take care of their own people. And so Allah has blessed them. Whereas we don't care about our own people.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Today's special looks at the universal import of the Quran. The Quran is not directed towards any one particular nation, such as the Arabs, or to particular sect of Muslims, but to non-Islamic societies as well, the Muslim nation as a whole. There are numerous references to non-believers and idol worshippers, to the people of book, namely the Jews, or the tribe of Israel, and the Christians, exhorting each one to strive towards a true understanding of the Quran and of Islam. The Quran calls each group to Islam by providing proofs and never stipulated that they be of Arab stock. Referring to idol worshippers, Allah says in chapter 9, verse 11, if they repent and establish worship and pay the poor due, then they are your brothers in religion. Holy Quran, chapter 9, verse 11.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
One of the tips to improve our understanding of the Quran can be reading one page per day. When you read to fully understand for the first time, you must be careful with the amount you read. Reading too many words and pages may not be the best start to understanding everything. Instead, focus on one page per day. Read it thoroughly, search for the meanings, and take your time to absorb it. As you get better, you'll find yourself able to read several pages a day while fully understanding them. Trust the process and listen to what your mind says. Remember, the goal is to understand, not to read. Do not rush your tongue trying to memorize a revelation of the Quran, chapter Al-Qiyamah.
Today we want to refer to a tradition as been reported to be to have been mentioned by the Messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, in which he shares with us some advice in terms of our connectivity to Allah And you know, sometimes our feeling tired or not in a mood to, let's say, engage in the recommended acts of worship, and how we should deal with those situations that we may come across within our lives. And the beloved Prophet says the following to us. He states, "Recite the Quran in such a way that your hearts develop a love for it and your skin becomes softened by it." Now we have to keep in mind that our heart, as our scholars of spirituality tell us, it goes through different states. It goes through a state where it is receptive and accepting of what we give to it. It will gladly take, you know, worship, and not only the obligatory but also the recommended, and it will actually maybe even encourage us to push further ahead in recommended acts of worship. But sometimes, as the scholars of spirituality tell us, that our heart goes into a stage of not being receptive, not wanting to go further in acts of worship. And we're told when our heart is at that level, when our spirit is at that level of not wanting to engage in further acts of servitude to Allah, that we give it a break. We take it easy. We just, suffice with the obligatory actions of the faith. Because sometimes we might not feel in a particular mood to engage in extra acts of worship. And so we have to listen to our heart, to our soul, and guide, and let us use that as a guide to how we engage in worship and how much worship we engage in fact. The Prophet shows us in this tradition that the Quran, its recitation, should move our hearts. It should really give us, you know, what we say is goosebumps. It should actually make our entire presence feel as being in the awe and majesty of Allah.
That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي. لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more. No more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. So today we reflect on a powerful hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where he said, "There are five things, whoever lacks them has no real goodness in them: intellect, faith, etiquette, modesty, and good character." I repeat, intellect, faith, etiquette, modesty, and good character. So let's break it down. This hadith doesn't just list virtues. It defines what makes a person truly good, truly good. So, aql, the first one. Without wisdom and sound judgment, sound intellect, a person may act foolishly, harming themselves and others. A person who makes rash decisions without thinking may hurt relationships or fall into destructive habits, and so on. So aql is probably the first and maybe the most important blessing that Allah has bestowed upon us. It is through aql that we can acknowledge God, acknowledge ourselves, acknowledge the religion and everything. So it is based on aql that a religion is built up. And the second one is deen, faith. Without faith, life can feel empty. Faith provides a moral compass and keeps a person grounded in truth. A person without faith may justify any wrongdoings for personal gain, losing their integrity. And you see that a lot around in today's world. And the third one is adab, or etiquette. Good manners are a reflection of respect and self-discipline. A person without etiquette is often rude, selfish, and unpleasant to be around. So someone who constantly interrupts or disrespects others will struggle to build lasting friendships. The fourth one is haya, or modesty. Modesty protects a person from arrogance and immoral behavior. Without it, a person may act shamelessly, losing their dignity and self-respect. So this is not a negative shame. It's a positive one that protects you from, you refrain from anything that would degrade you, would lower you, and make you, for example, embarrassed. So in a world where people seek fame at any cost, modesty keeps a person honorable and respectable. And the last but not the least is kindness, husnul khulq, good character. It's like kindness, like patience and humility. They define a good person. Without them, a person becomes harsh, selfish, and unpleasant. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam gives us a clear guide for self-improvement in this hadith. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm very glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we'll listen to a recitation by that reciter preceded by its English translation. After, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. And beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Imran. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in Suhaj Governorate in 1944. He lost his eyesight when he was 1 year old. He managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely at the age of 10 under the care of Sheikh Abdul Rahim Al-Misri. Then he learned Tajweed under the care of Sheikh Muhammad Khabbaz. In 1955, he moved to Cairo and got familiar with many Quran reciters and munshids, including Sheikh Muhammad Musa. I'm sure the audience that you know what Mubtahil or Munshid is. Munshid is someone who recites religious songs and nasheeds. And Mubtahil is someone who recites supplications. As a religious Munshid, he followed the style of Sheikh Ali Mahmud. He had such a unique voice that after entering radio, he became one of the outstanding Munshids and Mubtahils of Egypt. He had one of the most complete voices, according to experts. Sheikh Muhammad Imran passed away in 1994 at the age of 50. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Hijr, verses 85 to 87, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Imran, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And we created not the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, except with truth, and the hour is surely coming. So overlook their faults with gracious forgiveness. Verily, your Lord is the all-knowing Creator. And indeed, we have bestowed upon you the 7 repeatedly recited verses and the grand recital.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقنا السماء ولقد آتيناك 7 من المثاني والقرآن العظيم
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Hijr, verses 85 to 87, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Imran. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Imran was in the riwayah of Hafs an Asim. In fact, Sheikh Muhammad Imran always, and he only uses this method of recitation, which is Hafs an Asim, in all of his recitations. And his tajweed is very good, and also his fasaha is excellent. Okay, fasaha means the correct Arabic accent of the Quran.
Yes.
Okay. Fasih means eloquent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the accent which is needed for Quran recitation. And probably the biggest factor, okay, concerning fasaha is
the pronunciation of fatha.
Fatha and alif al-mad. And of course, also the makharij wal-huruf. But the most important is the way of pronouncing fatha and alif al-mad. Because there are many ways that you can pronounce fatha and alif al-mad. But there aren't many ways that you can pronounce dhamma and kasra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, if you say wama khalaqna samawat, this is, you know, you're opening your mouth too much. But if you say wama khalaqna samawati, this is, your mouth is a lot more closed.
Yeah.
It's not too open. So this affects fasaha. And for fasaha in the Quran, we want the fatha to be very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be too wide. If you say wama khalaqnas, see, that's incorrect. In some languages, the fatha is like this.
Yes.
Okay, but in Arabic, it should be narrower. The mouth opens in a certain way. And you have to learn the exact way that the mouth opens. And also the tongue should be in a specific position when pronouncing fatha. And Muhammad Imran, Sheikh Muhammad Imran, his fasaha is very good compared to other reciters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's talk about the tajweed in these verses. As we said, his tajweed is very good, Muhammad Imran. He observes the rules of tajweed precisely.
That's right.
وَمَا خَلَقَنَا خَلَقَنَا
خَلَقَنَا.
Exactly. We have a خاء with تفخيم because it's a letter of استعلاء. And we have a قاف with تفخيم and also قلقلة because قاف is also a letter of استعلاء.
Yes. And in between,
we have two letters of استفال in between. So we have to make sure that the letter of استفال does not affect the letter of تفخيم and vice versa. If you say وما خلقناس, see, that's all تفخيم. Or if you say وما خلقناس خا خا, the خا should be with تفخيم. And also the قاف. If you say خلقنا القا,
yes,
that's incorrect. قَ, the قاف also needs تفخيم.
We have one letter actually in between. One,
yes,
letter of istifal
one
in
letter
between.
Letter of istifal between.
That is.
And of course, after the last letter of istifal,
خلقه,
we have a noon, which is also a letter of istifal.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
We have to be careful. The letter after that letter is not affected either.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. The qaf has the lowest level of tafkhim.
Yes.
And Muhammad Imran, he's very skilled in pronouncing these letters of isti'la with the kasra. He never says بِالْحَقِّ. قِي is incorrect. بِالْحَقِّ.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that the tafkhim is very low.
وَإِنَّ
السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ. We have two تَاءُ تَأْنِيث. السَّاعَةَ and لَآتِيَةٌ. The first one, we pronounce the تَاء. But the second one, if we do waqf, we have to pronounce the تَاء like
just like
ha.
A ha.
Okay? لَآتِيَةٌ. Okay. And we have a صَلِي here, which means waqf is allowed, but continuation is preferred.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه. why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghiba.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications, so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being, is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about this dialogue between Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and one of his close companions by the name of Uthman ibn Sa'id. We went through the whole conversation, and we are now, by the grace of Allah, at the last sentences of this dialogue. And so we find that Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, he says that the people should know that the truth is by us and with us, and no one except us, the 12 imams, would claim that they are an imam, but that he or she would be a liar or a fabricator. None except us, the 12 divinely appointed imams, can claim thus, except that he or she be deviated. Therefore, what we have stated here should suffice for the people, rather than seeking further clarifications. Rather than desiring more explanation and details, the people should rest content with this much, if Allah wills. And so here is the end of this long dialogue that was conducted and happened and occurred between Uthman ibn Sa'id and Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And so here, of course, at the end of this conversation and dialogue, we find that, of course, Imam al-Mahdi is making it clear that there is no other imam other than this 12th divinely appointed imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And as His Eminence himself said, that he will bring forth clear signs and he will put forth truth in the most beautiful form.
and there will be luminous signs that he will bring, and these beautiful evidences that he will bring to prove him being the 12th divinely appointed imam. And so on the other hand, you know, over the course of history and perhaps even into the future, we will find that there will be false Mahdis, as there have been false Mahdis in the past. And so we have to be very careful. Again, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is giving us a forewarning. He is telling us that the people that claim to have this position or status are liars, they are fabricators, they are deviated, and that it is enough that we have these signs, or we know the signs, and we think clearly so that we are able to distinguish between right and wrong. And of course, we shouldn't be fooled by the false and fabricated lies and corruptions and deviations, excuse me, of these false messiahs and these false Mahdis. And of course, the closer we get to the reappearance of the 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, false messiahs will start to pop up left and right, and they will claim to be able to bring justice and peace to humanity. But just as any kind of creature or follower of falsehood, if one pays close enough attention, the signs of falsehood are very apparent in these individuals who will claim to be false messiahs. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Visiting the image of Imam al-Mahdi in the words of Hujjatul Islam, Fatimi Nia.
اگر خواستی جمال ببینی باید پاکیزه بشی. جمال دیدنم به این نیست برید ببینید. ممکن امام زمان سلام الله علیه از تو راضی شود در تو تصرف کنه خودت هم متوجه نشی چیکار داری تو.
If you wish to have the privilege to see the image of Imam al-Mahdi, you have to be purified. To see his face does not mean to go somewhere and visit him. Some people are doing business, abusing some other people's beliefs and telling them that they can see Imam al-Mahdi. This is not something ordinary, and you can't visit his great personality by just reading some supplications. If Imam al-Mahdi decides to let you see him, he will make it happen. He is so generous, and we know this fact. Please pay attention to this fact, that it does not make any difference for the infallible imams to be either present or in occultation. They would make it happen anyway.
بله هر شیعه باید یک نخی ازش به امام زمانش برسه.
Visiting the image and feeling the existence of Ahlul Bayt could take place in a lower level. If something happens for us, they will definitely take our hand in hardships. It is impossible that the progeny of Prophet Muhammad will not help us unless one of us has committed murder, has been cursed by his or her parents, or has quit saying his prayer. Now on this occasion, I'm going to say some prayers. As the progeny of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, have said, we will be happy in their happiness, and we will get sad in their sorrow. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to these prayers. O God, Please bless us all. My dear brothers and sisters, we will have the month of Ramadan ahead of us soon, and it is really important to be blessed before this month. O God, we hope that Imam al-Mahdi is satisfied with us.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. The last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. And you are listening to the program The Last Savior, which is about the Imam of Time, Imam al-Zamana, Jalla Hatala Faraja. And in this program, we give you more and more information about the Imam of Time. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, the one who dies and is ignorant about the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant. And the hadith that we discussed in the beginning of the program is also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Well, to explore more on the topic of Mahdaviyat, we have a special guest in the studio, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you have been discussing about Sufyani with us in the previous episode. We also talked about Dajjal earlier. And we said Dajjal is not among the definite signs of the reappearance. However, about Sufyani, it said that it's a definite sign of reappearance. So we were talking about Sufyani, that in some hadith it was mentioned that Sufyani is going to be very terrible, like there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. Even people are, when they're going to walk, they're going to walk over the beheaded heads. So that's literally terrible. And definitely when we heard that, we want to look for a way out. And you said that Imam has also provided us a way out on that note. So we would like to get more educated.
Yeah, we talk about the nature of Sufyani and the description that has been given to us by Sufyani in the language of narrations. We said that narrations tells us that Sufyani has these three characteristics that we took those hints from the explanations from the treatment of Abu Sufyan, that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that the family of Abu Sufyan have these treatments, have these characteristics. So out of these characteristics, we gain three factors, and we said that this Sufyani should have all these factors as characteristics and traits of it. So to include Sufyani as one of the definite and inevitable signs of the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it has been discussed again that the way that he will be killed and annihilated again will be by Imam alayhi salam, where in an area next to Medina and known as Bayda now exists. I mean, this Bayda is the... Again, we wanted to a little bit discuss the descriptions that Imam Ali alayhi salam gives about Sufyani at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that Imam introduced him with almost eight traits and eight signs that we discussed them in our previous session, that his attack is massive and he will fill the earth the same way that the carpet is going to be put on the earth. He will fill the earth with the heads of the people who have been beheaded. So this merciless person is going to start from Levant or Sham and continue to go towards Iraq, and he will be like a very angry camel. And these are the characteristics, or let's say the signs, that Imam Ali Salam describes this Sufyani way of, so if, even if it is going to be a person or a movement.
Right.
And one more characteristic that was missing here is that the area that would be under his control is very vast.
Okay. Yeah. So these are some of the traits about Sufyani we learned from the narrations, and we'll also learn about the way out after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Your hand and please show me the way to be one of the pure and chosen companions, so that I can swear the oath of allegiance. I'll give everything that I love in God's name to avenge the blood of your grandfather Hussein. Every step of the way my dream will come true. On my last breath, oh master,
welcome back. You're listening to the Enlightening Waves of IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. Dr. Ali Levy is with me here in the studio, and we're discussing about the traits of Sufyani in the Ahadith. So we discussed some of the traits in according to the narrations, and you also said that in this bloodshed and in this cruelty, in this in mercilessness, there is a way out given by Imam. So
well, we have been saying that Imam was describing Sufyani with these symbols.
Yeah.
But later on in the same sermon, in Sermon 138, Imam alayhi salam gives us four instructions in order to overcome this tyrant and oppressing rulers like Sufyani. How can we bring back security and safety to our society?
Yeah.
These are the instructions that Imam alayhi salam says. Imam says, فَأَلْزِمُ السَّنَنَ الْقَائِمَةِ. Imam says, be in step with the eternal traditions of Islam. Again, continues and the quite clear traces of Islam. وَالْعَهْدِ الْقَرِيبِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ بَاقِ النُّبُوَةِ. And on the close covenant. So what is this close covenant? Imam Ali Salam says that keep the sunnahs, conducts, and eternal teachings of Islam. Second, keep those clear signs and traces of Islam. Third, والعهد القريب, close covenant. What is this close covenant? Whatever the prophecy or prophethood has been continued with. So what is this ahd or covenant? This is imamate.
All right.
So, I mean, keep a step in the covenant of imamate. That is, keep, take hold of imam of the time.
Pay allegiance.
Pay allegiance to imam of the time. وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ. And know that the shaitan, إِنَّمَا يَسْنِي لَكُمْ طُرُقَهُ لِتَتَّبْعُوا عَقِبَهُ. Imam says that Satan tries to make it easy, its ways towards itself. It makes it, I mean, interesting for you to step towards it. But if you keep the sunan of Islam, the conducts and the covenant, the close covenant, and the traces, the clear proofs of Islam, you will not go astray.
Yeah.
So these are the actually instructions that Imam alayhi salam tells us in the same sermon, Sermon 138. Now, I want to say that what happens at the end of the day? I mean, what would be the ending of Sufyani?
Fate of Sufyani.
How would be the falling of Sufyani?
Mahdiyuna fil azman shahawiyahu, Rabbuna fil alameen afa'u lahu.